There is a specific, uncomfortable truth that could salvage the vast majority of failing marriages, yet it is the one reality most modern partners refuse to face. We have fundamentally altered the relationship contract from a mutual exchange into a unilateral service industry, where one person acts as the customer and the other as the provider. This shift from partnership to extraction is the silent killer of intimacy. Until you understand the mechanics of this collapse, no amount of counseling will help, which brings us to the first impossible demand that starts it all. Modern dating narratives have engineered a psychological paradox. Women are increasingly conditioned to demand a partner who embodies two mutually exclusive archetypes simultaneously. They require the aggressive drive of a conqueror to secure resources and status, yet expect the soft, unending patience of a therapist the moment he crosses the threshold. It is an expectation of biological dissonance. In simpler terms, you cannot ask a guard dog to bite intruders, but expect it to be a lap cat on command. He's expected to be dangerous enough to protect the perimeter, but harmless enough to never challenge the emotional temperature of the household. This schizophrenia of expectation creates a rigged game where he fails simply by maintaining a consistent personality, forcing him to constantly mask his true nature to fit the mood of the hour. This delusion is actively manufactured by a digital diet of curated perfection. Social media algorithms feed a composite image of a partner that does not exist in biology. A Frankenstein standard stitched together from the best attributes of 10 different men. She sees the availability of the unemployed, the wealth of the CEO, and the physique of the athlete, and internalizes this anomaly as the baseline. If you've ever felt like you are competing against a ghost, this is exactly why. You aren't competing against a rival, you are losing to a pixelated hallucination. When reality inevitably fails to match this aggregate fantasy, the relationship is reframed not as a partnership, but as a disappointment that requires constant management. Which brings us to the specific mechanism of how this labor is distributed. Imagine a relationship that functions exactly like a luxury hotel. In this dynamic, one person acts as the VIP guest, believing that their only job is to show up and be the prize. The other person is forced into the role of the hotel manager, responsible for fixing every problem, paying every bill, and ensuring the guest is constantly entertained. This is the shift from partnership to servitude. In practice, this looks like a marriage where she has a list of needs that must be met daily, while he has a list of duties to perform to keep his position. If you have ever felt like your value in your own home depends entirely on what you did for her today, while her value is simply existing, you are trapped in this cycle. You aren't building a life together. You are working a customer service job where the shift never ends and the customer is never fully satisfied. To justify this unfair arrangement, modern society has rigged the scoreboard. We are told that a man working stressful hours to pay the mortgage and secure the family's future is just doing the bare minimum. It counts for 0 points. However, when she manages the social calendar or talks about feelings, it is labeled as exhausting emotional labor that deserves a medal. It is a fraudulent accounting system. His concrete sacrifices, the physical stress, the late nights, the silent endurance, are invisible to her. Her contributions, however, are magnified and treated as heroic. When you dismiss one person's heavy lifting as mandatory while treating the other person's basic effort as a gift, you guarantee resentment. It is like trying to pay for a real Ferrari using Monopoly money. The math is broken, and the debt always falls on his shoulders. Ultimately, this turns the relationship into a parasite rather than a partnership. A healthy marriage should be a charging station, a safe place where both people plug in to recharge their batteries after a hard day. But in this extraction model, the relationship becomes a tax. She extracts resources, attention, and validation, while he extracts nothing but exhaustion. It is emotional vampirism. The most dangerous part is what happens when the manager finally burns out. He is not met with empathy or care. He is met with anger for being broken. In this worldview, a husband is viewed like a kitchen appliance, valuable only as long as he functions perfectly. Once he stops being useful, he is discarded. A cruelty that is only possible because she views herself as morally superior. This specific ego structure creates a relationship dynamic that feels less like a marriage and more like a relentless life coaching session, where she is the guru and he is the struggling client. The underlying belief here is that she is the finished product, emotionally mature, evolved, and correct, while he is a rough draft that needs constant editing and improvement. In simpler terms, she views herself as the standard of normalcy, and any behavior of his that deviates from her preference is treated as a defect. When a conflict arises, it is never viewed as a disagreement between two equals. It is framed as a failure on his part to reach her level of understanding. You cannot build a partnership with someone you are actively trying to raise or fix, yet this condescension is the baseline for many modern unions. Because she believes she holds the moral high ground, she begins to classify her personal preferences as objective laws. If she prefers to process stress by talking for hours, that is labeled healthy communication. If he prefers to process stress through quiet action or solitude, he is diagnosed as emotionally stunted or unavailable. She isn't just disagreeing with his style, she is pathologizing his nature. In practice, this feels like living under a microscope where your natural instincts are constantly graded and found wanting. He is no longer a husband, he is a project under construction. This destroys the safety of the relationship because he learns that being his authentic self will only result in a lecture on how he should be feeling or acting. The tragic irony is that this behavior actively destroys the very strength she claims to want in a partner. You cannot treat a man like an incompetent child during the day and then expect him to lead like a king at night. By constantly correcting his tone, critiquing his decisions, and micromanaging his behavior, she erodes his confidence and his authority. It is the micromanagement trap. She treats him like he cannot be trusted to handle things correctly, so he eventually stops trying to lead to avoid the criticism. Then she becomes frustrated that he is passive, not realizing she systematically dismantled his initiative. She effectively neuters the man she married and then complains that he isn't acting like a man. Ultimately, no man can survive long in an environment where he is merely tolerated rather than admired. When he realizes that her acceptance is conditional, that he is only good when he is acting exactly like her, he begins to shut down. He stops sharing his true thoughts because he knows they will just be marked with a red pen and returned for corrections. The intimacy evaporates not because the love is gone, but because the respect is gone. He retreats into silence to protect what is left of his dignity, which she inevitably misinterprets as another symptom of his toxic masculinity, leading her to deploy the most sophisticated weapon in modern conflict. We are witnessing the weaponization of therapy language. Concepts that were originally meant to heal relationships are now being used as ammunition to win arguments. Terms like narcissist, gaslighting, and toxic are thrown around casually, not to describe actual clinical disorders, but to label any male behavior that a partner finds inconvenient. If he sets a boundary she dislikes, he is called controlling. If he remembers an event differently than she does, he is accused of gaslighting. This is not communication, it is linguistic warfare. By slapping a clinical label on him, she exempts herself from having to listen to his valid concerns. After all, why would a healthy person need to compromise with a sick person? It shuts down the conversation instantly and invalidates his reality. The concept of boundaries has been equally corrupted to serve this one-sided dynamic. A true boundary is a defensive line for self-protection, such as, "I will not continue this conversation if you scream at me." However, in many modern marriages, boundaries are used as offensive weapons for control. "My boundary is that you are not allowed to see those friends." That is not a boundary, that is a rule disguised as self-care. When a man tries to express his own needs, he's often told he's being insecure or fragile. Yet when she makes demands, it is framed as honoring her truth. This creates a rigged environment where his basic needs are treated as annoyances that interfere with her happiness, while her changing moods are treated as non-negotiable laws that he must obey. This dynamic results in the complete erasure of male pain. Because the cultural narrative paints women as the perpetual victims and men as the privileged oppressors, we struggle to see men as human beings who can be hurt. If a woman cries, the world stops to comfort her. If a man expresses burnout, depression, or loneliness, he is told to do the work or stop complaining. His suffering is invisible. In many homes, a husband can be drowning in financial stress, sleep-deprived, and emotionally starved, yet the only question he hears is, "Why aren't you doing more for me?" The empathy gap is massive. He is expected to be an endless well of support for her emotions, but his own emotional tank is allowed to run completely dry without anyone noticing. The inevitable result of this constant labeling and dismissal is silence. Women frequently complain that their husbands shut down or won't open up, but they fail to realize that he has learned through painful experience that opening up is a trap. He knows that every time he shared a vulnerability in the past, it was later used against him in an argument. He knows that if he voices a complaint, it will be twisted into proof that he is the problem. So he does the only logical thing. He goes quiet. It is a survival tactic. He isn't emotionally unavailable. He is emotionally in hiding because the environment is hostile. He realizes the game is rigged, which leads directly to the quiet, invisible process of him checking out for good. Most people assume that marriages end with a massive explosion, an affair, a bankruptcy, or a screaming fight. In reality, the vast majority end with a whimper. This is the mechanism of death by a thousand cuts. It isn't one big betrayal that breaks a man's resolve. It is the relentless accumulation of small disrespects over a decade. It is the constant eye roll when he speaks, the heavy sigh when he sits down to rest, the public joke made at his expense, and the immediate correction of how he loads the dishwasher. Each individual cut seems harmless and petty to mention, but collectively, they send a deafening message. "I do not respect you." He can endure a crisis or a tragedy. He cannot endure a daily environment where he feels like a nuisance in his own home. When a man realizes he cannot win, he logically stops playing the game. This is not laziness. It is a calculation of energy economics. If he tries to plan a date night and gets criticized for the restaurant choice, he learns not to plan dates. If he tries to fix a problem in the house and gets told he did it wrong, he stops fixing things. He enters a state of passive withdrawal. He becomes a ghost in the hallways, doing exactly what is asked to avoid conflict, but offering nothing of his true self. He retreats into work, hobbies, or his phone, anywhere he can feel competent and safe from judgment. This withdrawal is his only defense mechanism against a system that consistently punishes his initiative. Ironically, this withdrawal triggers a spike in her aggression, which only accelerates the collapse. She senses him pulling away emotionally and interprets it as him not caring or being lazy. Panic sets in, but instead of asking what is painful for him, she doubles down on the criticism to try and force a reaction. She labels him boring or a child, unaware that she is screaming at a wall she helped build. She wants connection, but her method of asking for it, through complaining and demanding, is the very thing that drives him further into his bunker. It becomes a tragic, self-fulfilling prophecy. By treating him like he is useless, she ensures he becomes useless to her. The final stage of this process is not anger, it is total indifference. This is the terrifying quiet before the divorce papers arrive. He stops arguing because he no longer cares about being understood. He stops defending himself because the relationship is no longer worth the energy of a defense. He effectively becomes an ATM with visitation rights. He stays physically present for the children or the financial logistics, but his spirit has left the building. At this point, no amount of yelling can wake him up because the internal switch has been flipped to off. To turn that switch back on requires something radical, a complete dismantling of the ego, which brings us to the only unpopular solution that actually works. The only way to reverse this collapse is to completely dismantle the service industry mindset. You must stop viewing marriage as a place where you go to be served and start viewing it as a team where you go to build. The cure is not more communication techniques or date nights. The cure is the death of the ego. You have to accept that you are not the protagonist of a movie where he is merely a supporting character. You are partners in a difficult world. This means deleting the internal scorecard where you list everything you do as a sacrifice and everything he does as expected. In simpler terms, you have to stop waiting for him to make you happy and start asking how you can make the burden of life lighter for both of you. Practically, this requires an immediate ceasefire on criticism. You cannot nag a man into leadership. You can only respect him into it. If you want a partner who acts like a king, decisive, protective, and strong, you must stop treating him like a naughty child or an incompetent employee. You have to let him do things his way, even if it is not your way. This is the hardest part for the modern control freak, stepping back. When you stop micromanaging his every move, you create a vacuum that he will naturally step in to fill. But as long as you are standing over his shoulder holding a red pen, he will never rise to the occasion because he knows he has already failed before he started. This also demands a return to radical gratitude. You must learn to value the invisible labor he provides, the stress he eats at work so you don't have to, the physical safety he ensures, and the stability he maintains. These are not defaults. They are gifts. When a man feels genuinely appreciated for his utility and his effort, his natural instinct is to give more. When he feels entitled to, his natural instinct is to withhold. It is a simple mechanism. Men go where they are celebrated and leave where they are tolerated. If you want the best version of him, you have to feed that version with respect, not starve it with resentment. Ultimately, the choice is binary and brutal. You can continue to hold on to your superiority, convinced that you are the victim and he is the disappointment, and you will likely end up right and alone. Or you can choose the unpopular path of humility. You can choose to drop the weaponized therapy language, stop the scorekeeping, and look at the human being across from you with fresh eyes. The modern world tells you that demanding more is the path to happiness. The reality is that giving more of your patience, your respect, and your grace is the only thing that invites true reciprocity. You can have a partner or you can have a servant, but you cannot have both. If this exposed the silent ledger destroying your marriage, you already know what needs to change. Join us as we keep decoding the realities modern culture tries to hide. Question for you. What was the specific moment you decided to check out? Drop your story below. I read every reply.